Ruin's prison was not like those that hold men. He wasn't bound by bars. In fact, he could move about freely. His prison, rather, was one of impotence. In the terms of forces and gods, this meant balance. If Ruin were to push, the prison would push back, essentially rendering Ruin powerless. And because much of his power was stripped away and hidden, he was unable to affect the world in any but the most subtle of ways. I should stop here and clarify something. We speak of Ruin being freed from his prison, but that is misleading. Releasing the power at the well tipped the aforementioned balance back toward Ruin, but he was still too weak to destroy the world in the blink of an eye as he yearned to do. This weakness was caused by part of Ruin's power, his very body, having been taken and hidden from him. Which was why Ruin became so obsessed with finding the hidden part of his self.
47. Elend stood in the mists. Once he had found them disconcerting. They had been the unknown, something mysterious and uninviting, something that belonged to allomancers and not to ordinary men. Yet now he was an allomancer himself. He stared up at the shifting, swirling, spinning banks of vapor. Rivers in the sky. He almost felt as if he should get pulled along in some phantom current. When he'd first displayed allomantic powers, Vinard explained Kelsier's now infamous motto, "The mists are our friend. They hide us, protect us, give us power." Elend continued to stare upward. It had been 3 days since Vin's capture. "I shouldn't have let her go," he thought again, heart twisting within him. "I shouldn't have agreed to such a risky plan." Vin had always been the one to protect him. What did they do now when she was in danger? Elend felt so inadequate. Had their situations been reversed, Vin would have found a way to get into the city and rescue him. She'd have assassinated Yeoman, would have done something. And yet Elend didn't have her flair of brash determination. He was too much of a planner, and was too well acquainted with politics. He couldn't risk himself to save her. He'd already put himself into danger once, and in so doing had risked the fate of his entire army. He couldn't leave them behind again, and put himself in danger, particularly not by going into Fadrick's, where Yeoman had already proven himself a skilled manipulator. No further word had come from Yeoman. Elend expected ransom demands, and was terrified of what he might have to do if they came. Could he trade the fate of the world for Vin's life? No. Vin had faced a similar decision at the Well of Ascension, and had chosen the right option. Elend had to follow her example, had to be strong. Yet the thought of her captured came close to paralyzing him with dread. Only the spinning mists seemed to somehow comfort him. "She'll be all right," he told himself, not for the first time. "She's Vin. She'll figure a way out of it. She'll be all right." It felt odd to Elend that after a lifetime of finding the mists unsettling, he would now find them so comforting. Vin didn't see them that way, not anymore. Elend could sense it in the way she acted, in the words she spoke. She distrusted the mists, hated them even. And Elend couldn't really blame her. They had, after all, changed somehow, bringing destruction and death. Yet Elend found it hard to distrust the mists. They just felt right. How could they be his enemy? They spun, swirling around him just slightly as he burned metals, like leaves spinning in a playful wind. As he stood there, they seemed to soothe away his concerns about Vin's captivity, giving him confidence that she would find a way out. He sighed, shaking his head. Who was he to trust his own instincts about the mists over Vin's? She had the instincts born of a lifetime of struggling to survive. What did Elend have? Instincts born of a lifetime of party-going and dancing? Sound came from behind him, people walking. Elend turned, eyeing a pair of servants carrying Set in his chair.
"That damn thug isn't around here, is he?" Set asked, as the servants set him down.
Elland shook his head as Set waved the servants away.
No, Elland said. He's investigating some kind of disturbance in the ranks.
What happened this time? Set asked.
Fist fight, Elland said, turning away, looking back toward Fadrick City's watchfires.
The men are restless, Set said. They're a little like Kolos, you know. Leave them too long and they'll get themselves into trouble.
Kolos are like them, actually, Elland thought. We should have seen it earlier. They are men, just men reduced to their most base emotions.
Set sat quietly in the mists for a time, and Elland continued his contemplations. Eventually, Set spoke, his voice uncharacteristically soft.
She's as good as dead, son. You know that.
No, I don't, Elland said.
She's not invincible, Set said. She's a damn good allomancer, true. But take her medals away.
She'll surprise you, Set.
You don't even look worried, Set said.
Of course I'm worried, Elland said, growing more certain. I just... Well, I trust her. If anyone can get out, Vin will.
You're in denial, Set said.
Perhaps, Elland admitted.
Are we going to attack? Set asked. Try and get her back?
This is a siege, Set, Elland said. The point is to not attack.
And our supplies? Set asked.
Demu had to put the soldiers on half rations today. We'll be lucky not to starve ourselves before we can get Yeoman to surrender.
We have time yet, Elland said.
Not much. Not with Luthadel in revolt.
Set was silent for a moment, then continued. Another of my raiding parties returned today. They had the same things to report.
The same news as all the others.
Elland had authorized Set to send soldiers into nearby villages to scare the people, perhaps pillage some supplies. Yet each of the raiding groups had come back empty-handed, bearing the same story. The people in Yeoman's kingdom were starving. Villages barely survived. The soldiers hadn't the heart to hurt them any further, and there wasn't anything to take anyway.
Elland turned toward Set.
You think me a bad leader, don't you?
Set looked up, then scratched at his beard.
Yes, he admitted. But, well... Elland, you've got one thing going for you as a king that I never did.
And that is?
Set shrugged. The people like you. Your soldiers trust you, and they know you have too good a heart for your own good. You have a strange effect on them. Lads like those, they should have been eager to rob villages, even poor ones, especially considering how on edge our men are, and how many fights there have been in camp. And yet they didn't. Hell, one of the groups felt so sorry for the villagers that they stayed for a few days and helped water the fields and do repairs to some of the homes.
Set sighed, shaking his head.
A few years ago, I would have laughed at anyone who chose loyalty as a basis for rule. But, well, with the world falling apart as it is, I think even I would rather have someone to trust as opposed to someone to fear. I guess that's why the soldiers act as they do.
Elland nodded.
I thought a siege was a good idea, Set said. But I don't think it will work any more, son. The ash is falling too hard now, and we don't have supplies. This whole thing is becoming a damn mess. We need to strike and take what we can from Fadrick's, then retreat to Luthadel and try to hold it through the summer while our people grow crops.
Elland fell silent, then turned, looking to the side as he heard something else in the mists. Shouting and cursing. It was faint. Set probably couldn't hear it. Elland left, hurrying toward the sound, leaving Set behind.
Another fight, Elland realized as he approached one of the cooking fires. He heard yells, blustering, and the sounds of men brawling.
Set's right. Good-hearted or not, our men are getting too restless. I need...
Stop this immediately,
a new voice called. Just ahead through the dark mists, Elland could see figures moving about the firelight. He recognized the voice. General Demu had arrived on the scene. Elland slowed. Better to let the general deal with the disturbance. There was a big difference between being disciplined by one's military commander and one's emperor. The men would be better off if Dumu were the one to punish them. The fighting, however, did not stop.
"Stop this!"
Dumu yelled again, moving into the conflict. A few of the brawlers listened to him, pulling back. The rest, however, just continued to fight. Dumu pushed himself into the melee, reaching to pull apart two of the combatants. And one of them punched him, square in the face, throwing Dumu to the ground. Elend cursed, dropping a coin and pushing himself forward. He fell directly into the middle of the firelight, pushing out with a soothing to dampen the emotions of those fighting.
"Stop!"
he bellowed. They did, freezing, one of the soldiers standing over the fallen General Dumu.
"What is going on here?"
Elend demanded, furious. The soldiers looked down.
"Well?"
Elend said, turning toward the man who had punched Dumu.
"I'm sorry, my lord," the man grumbled. "We just..."
"Speak, soldier," Elend said, pointing, soothing the man's emotions, leaving him compliant and docile.
"Well, my lord," the man said. "They're cursed, you know. They're the reason Lady Vin got taken. They were speaking of the survivor and his blessings, and that just smacked me as hypocrisy, you know. Then, of course, their leader would show, demanding that we stop. I just... Well, I'm tired of listening to them, is all."
Elend frowned in anger. As he did so, a group of the army's mistings, Ham at their head, shoved through the crowd. Ham met Elend's eyes, and Elend nodded toward the men who had been fighting. Ham made quick work of them, gathering them up for reprimand. Elend walked over, pulling Dumu to his feet. The grizzled general looked more shocked than anything.
"I'm sorry, my lord," Dumu said quietly. "I should have seen that coming. I should have been ready for it."
Elend just shook his head. The two of them watched quietly until Ham joined them, his police pushing the troublemakers away. The rest of the crowd dispersed, returning to their duties. The solitary bonfire burned alone in the night, as if shunned as a new symbol of bad luck.
"I recognize a number of those men,"
Ham said, joining Elend and Dumu as the troublemakers were led away.
"Mistfallen."
Mistfallen. The men who, like Dumu, had lain sick from the mists for weeks instead of a single day.
"This is ridiculous," Elend said. "So they remained sick a while longer. That doesn't make them cursed."
"You don't understand superstition, my lord," Dumu said, shaking his head and rubbing his chin. "The men look for someone to blame for their ill luck. And, well, it's easy to see why they'd be feeling their luck was bad lately. They've been hard on anyone who was sickened by the mists. They're just most hard on we who are out the longest."
"I refuse to accept such idiocy in my army," Elend said. "Ham, did you see one of those men strike Dumu?"
"They hit him?"
Ham asked with surprise.
"Their general?"
Elend nodded.
"The big man I was talking to. Brill is his name, I think. You know it will have to be done."
Ham cursed, looking away. Dumu looked uncomfortable.
"Maybe we could just throw him in solitary or something."
"No," Elend said through his teeth. "No, we hold to the law. If he'd struck his captain, maybe we could let him off. But deliberately striking one of my generals? The man will have to be executed. Discipline is falling apart as it is."
Ham wouldn't look at him.
"The other fight I had to break up was also between a group of regular soldiers and a group of Mistfallen."
Elend ground his teeth in frustration. Dumu, however, met his eyes. "You know what needs to be done," he seemed to say. "Being a king isn't always about doing what you want," Tyndall had often said. "It's about doing what needs to be done."
"Dumu," Elend said, "I think the problems in Luthadel are even more serious than our difficulties with discipline. Penrod looked toward us for support. I want you to gather a group of men and take them back along the canal with the messenger Conrad. Lend aid to Penrod, and bring the city back under control."
"Yes, my lord," Dumu said. "How many soldiers should I take?"
Elend met his eyes.
"About 300 should suffice.
It was the number who were mistfallen.
Dumu nodded, then withdrew into the night.
"It's the right thing to do, El,"
Ham said softly.
"No, it's not," Elland said. "Just like it's not right to have to execute a soldier because of a single lapse in judgment. But we need to keep this army together."
"I guess," Ham said.
Elland turned, glancing up through the mists. Toward Fadrick City.
"Set's right," he finally said. "We can't just continue to sit out here, not while the world is dying."
"So what do we do about it?" Ham asked.
Elland wavered. What to do about it, indeed? Retreat and leave Vin, and probably the entire Empire, to its doom? Attack, causing the deaths of thousands, becoming the conqueror he feared? Was there no other way to take the city? Elland turned and struck out into the night. He found his way to Nurdin's tent, Ham following curiously. The former obligator was awake, of course. Nurdin kept odd hours. He stood hurriedly as Elland entered his tent, bowing in respect. There on the table, Elland found what he wanted. The thing he had ordered Nurdin to work on. Maps. Troop movements. The locations of Kolos bands.
"Yeoman refuses to be intimidated by my forces," Elland thought. "Well, let's see if I can turn the odds back against him."